It was the end of July 1942. I went to an address in Leopoldstraße, Atelier Eickemeyer. On arrival, I found some 30 or 35 people with Professor Kurt Huber at their head. The reason for the gathering was that the students would be going to the Eastern Front with a student company the next day. This was their leave-taking. The atmosphere was very relaxed. To my consternation, Hans Scholl greeted me using my regular name. No pseudonyms had been arranged, and the conversation was clearly highly treasonable. The people there were intelligent and well-educated, and their basic attitude was, let's get rid of this regime, and, unfortunately, we have no tanks, we have no power. Professor Huber's anger and loathing was striking. These generals should all be lined up against the wall, he said. Basically, we were all in agreement.
At one of our reading evenings at the Schmorells, Christoph Probst remarked that he had so much to do and that he had also state exams to take. And then Professor Huber struck the table with his fist and said, "This state isn't a state. One owes no obligation to such a state." He distanced himself radically from the state. It made a big impression on me. The first time I saw the leaflets, I realized that what was in them had to do with our evenings, our opinions, our friendships. We talked about the building of a state and what a real state ought to be. Schiller's The Legislation of Lycurgus was quoted. We read Goethe and talked a lot about Plato and the building of a state, how it ought to be and what was wrong. I was there once when they needed another 200 envelopes. So Sophie Scholl and I went out to buy envelopes. I always had the impression there was another, completely different organization behind it. I didn't realize that only 3 or 4 people were involved, and Hans Scholl didn't disillusion me either.
In February 1943, Alexander Schmorell, Hans Scholl and Willy Graf wrote Down with Hitler, Mass Murderer Hitler and Freedom on the facades of buildings at night and distributed thousands of leaflets throughout the city. The Gestapo reacted with a manhunt. The excitement in Munich was enormous and spread through the city like wildfire. The thing couldn't be kept secret. There were plenty of witnesses of the graffiti on Ludwigstraße, for instance, right next to the Feldherrnhalle. Confirmed Nazis stood around in groups talking, "Did you see that? What's going on? How's this possible?"
The moment I heard that on February 18th, 1943, 2 students, a woman and a man, had been arrested, I didn't doubt for a second that it was Hans and Sophie Scholl, although no one had told me anything about it. The university was shut, then it was reopened, and I didn't dare to return to our apartment.
Around midnight on February 18th, the doorbell rang and Alex Schmorell came up the stairs, looking great, really bad, unshaven. He always looked so radiant. "They've caught Hans and Sophie," he said, and asked if I'd be prepared to forge a passport for him. The next day, we went to the Starnberg wing of Central Station. He wanted to look for Willy Graf, but the entire station was overrun with Gestapo. Details of the events were already in the newspapers. "There's no point," Alex said. "If we stay here any longer, we'll both be arrested." Now he was scared for me. Then we walked. It took us at least half an hour to Nymphenburg.
I whiled away the time at my girlfriend's until around 10 p.m. And then I told myself there was no use. I had to go to our apartment sometime. And with a heavy heart, I can still see myself now. I walked from the tram to our apartment in Mandelstraße. The Gestapo were already there. I heard the lock turn and my brother Willy appeared. And I broke from the circle and went to the door and whispered, "Gestapo!" to let Willy know what was happening. "What do you think you're doing?" someone snarled, running to the door like that. Then Willy appeared, his face impassive, very restrained. That was a quality of his. He always appeared very self-controlled. We were taken to the Gestapo jail in Briennerstraße and, likely on purpose, led past a room where we saw Hans Scholl seated on a chair with a spotlight on him. Pale-faced, eyes very dark. And Hans, who was always quick-witted, and whom they'd no doubt been interrogating for 12 or more hours, had the nerve to say, "What do you want with them?" He was signaling to us that he hadn't mentioned our names. It gave me strength.
And one sees just how important this matter was for the power wielders in Berlin. 4 days later, the entire court flew to Munich. Trials were normally only conducted in Berlin, but for this case, the whole court moved to Munich.